The Royal Commission into the banking sector has heard financial services company AMP charged customers for products they never received. AMP's head of advice, Anthony Regan, said the firm had misled the industry watchdog about the conduct, as well as altering an independent report into the practice. The Federal Treasurer, Scott Morrison, had this to say today about the revelations.
I mean, what has occurred here and what has been admitted to in the Royal Commission by AMP is deeply disturbing. They have said that they basically charge people for services they didn't provide, and they have admitted to statements that were misleading. This type of behaviour can attract penalties which include jail time.
Professor Ian Ramsey is the Director of the Centre for Corporate Law and Securities Regulation at the University of Melbourne. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Patricia.
How surprised were you to hear about this conduct from AMP?
I was very surprised, and the reason is that although I think there's been sustained misconduct in the financial services sector for many years, what we have learnt in the last couple of days from AMP in its appearance before the Royal Commission is that this misconduct, this charging of fees and not providing any financial advice, was actually deliberate. It wasn't an accident. It was a deliberate management policy. And I think that is both appalling, shocking, and surprising.
How exactly can this happen?
Well, that is a great mystery. But what we do know is that it was a deliberate decision made by senior executives to continue to charge fees where there was no authorisation, and it was both illegal and inappropriate for AMP to continue to charge fees to clients of financial advisors where they were receiving nothing in return, no financial advice. It does reflect, of course, in response to your question, how can it happen, an extraordinarily poor culture within AMP where this conduct, as I said, is not incidental or accidental, but a deliberate management decision. And what we heard from one senior AMP executive was extraordinarily honest. He said this is a result of AMP deciding to prefer the interests of its shareholders over the interests of its customers and clients.
Would customers realise that they are being charged for something that they're not getting?
No. So one issue that's been a problem for many years, Patricia, is good, accurate disclosure of fees and charges in the area of financial services. Not suggesting there haven't been improvements, but it's an extraordinarily complex world trying to work out, particularly when people are investing through what we call platforms offered by AMP and other big providers. Not easy to work out what a bottom line figure is in terms of fees and charges. And so, of course, when a deliberate decision is made in this sense, as has occurred here, that's not necessarily obvious to clients and customers.
AMP misled the Australian Securities and Investments Commission, ASIC, as many as 20 times. What does that say about ASIC and its powers? What does it tell us about that architecture?
So there's a number of important issues that come out of this. While we have seen before the Royal Commission too many instances of misconduct laid bare, I believe this is the first time we have heard clear evidence of a deliberate policy to mislead the regulator. Now, that is not only a profound breach of trust between AMP and the regulator, but also what we saw today, and this was mentioned, Patricia, in your opening comments, we saw the Commonwealth Treasurer today comment that not only did he find that particular conduct deeply disturbing, but it does open up the possibility of criminal proceedings. And my guess, Patricia, is that what the Treasurer or his advisers might have been thinking of, and what I think ASIC will be thinking of today, is Section 1308 of our Corporations Act that does impose strong penalties where a person provides false or misleading information to ASIC, where they know it's false or misleading. Penalties can be quite significant. Monetary penalties of up to $42,000 imposed on individuals, and even the possibility of imprisonment. So, Patricia, I'm not suggesting those penalties would automatically apply. Obviously, there needs to be a careful investigation. But it does show to me, A, the significance of this issue, and B, the fact that senior people within AMP did this regardless of the prospect of criminal consequences. It does reflect so poorly on the culture within AMP.
And you mentioned this just then, that the Treasurer did talk about jail time. Obviously, that's a pretty significant penalty. How likely is it to eventuate that people at AMP go to jail?
I wouldn't want to speculate on that, Patricia, because I don't think all the facts have yet come out. I mean, there would certainly need to be a full ASIC investigation. I mean, clearly the Commission has uncovered this. It was certainly news to me, and I think news to pretty much everyone else. But there would need to be a further careful investigation and then a decision made by the Commonwealth Director of Public Prosecutions whether to investigate. But having said that, AMP has actually acknowledged that it misled, it lied to the regulator. And so from my perspective, there would need to be consequences that flow from that. Because after all, anyone else in the sector might be saying, well, what flows from the fact that a major financial institution has developed a policy that on multiple occasions it will deliberately mislead the regulator? If there's no consequences that flow from that, then that really tells us that enforcement is not taken seriously. So I would hope, indeed, I would expect that there would be some consequences that flow.
And the Treasurer made the point that ASIC had already been looking into the practice at AMP. Would this have come to light without the Royal Commission? And I ask that because, of course, let's not forget that this entire Royal Commission was incredibly politically contentious. And the Turnbull government did announce it, but incredibly reluctantly, and said that, you know, it really didn't think this was the best path, but it understood it was the path that it should now take. Would this have been revealed under different circumstances?
My guess is that it wouldn't have come out. Certainly there's been multiple inquiries and investigations into the financial industry sector going back many, many years. But we've never had what's occurring now with the Royal Commission, whereby we have a very thorough, forensic, detailed examination of conduct by financial organisations and their staff. It's chaired by an eminent former High Court judge, someone who has spent decades as a judge, in a sense searching for the truth. He is clearly supported by talented QCs. And very importantly, Patricia, this is all being conducted in the public, whereas previously, of course, what we know is ASIC investigations are conducted privately. We don't always know the result of those, but this is transparent. It's out there, and so I think it's a really important step. I think those who did have reservations about the Royal Commission, my guess is that those reservations are being quickly put to the side as we see the evidence that's coming out before the Royal Commission. And hopefully this will lead to not only change, but possibly law reform.
AMP, now they sell insurance and investments. Their brand is all about trust. AMP stocks tanked today. How bad could these revelations be for their business model?
Well, the implications for their business model, I think, are important, but it's a bit unclear at this stage where we go. And I say that because I think the big banks are really reconsidering their business model, which for many years has been what we call an integrated model, whereby they will actually develop the financial products, whether superannuation, managed funds, and then they will have advisors who will sell you these particular products. In other words, they endeavour to do everything. But that integrated model inevitably has conflicts within it. Conflicts in particular as to whether or not a financial advisor is always giving you, in a sense, advice in your best interest as a customer, if in fact there's ways in which they are rewarded because they are, in a sense, selling products of their employer. So there's structural conflicts that are inherent with the integrated model, and we know the banks are rethinking that model because, after all, it's caused them a lot of pain, and frankly, it hasn't always been as profitable. But it's a different issue for AMP because AMP is in the business of selling insurance and other financial products. They're not a bank, if you like, and they have the largest network of financial advisors in the country. They've been in the general insurance business for almost, or the life insurance industry for almost 170 years. So for them to fundamentally restructure their business model is, I would suggest, a big challenge. But clearly, their culture and their compliance needs a big change.
Just finally, what about the company Clayton Utz that prepared the so-called independent report to ASIC? Should they also be subject to the same level of scrutiny as AMP?
Oh, so I think we wait to see what will unfold in relation to this. Indeed, my understanding is that the commissioner has invited the relevant parties to provide more evidence in relation to the production of that particular report. That does seem to me to be different to some other matters where, in a sense, AMP has acknowledged, for example, that it charged fees for no services, that it misled the regulator. So I think on a number of these issues, Patricia, that there will need to be further information obtained before conclusions can be drawn.
Professor Ian Ramsey, thank you so much for your time.
That's a pleasure.
That's the Director of the Centre for Corporate Law and Securities Regulation at the University of Melbourne, Professor Ian Ramsey.